You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is September 18th, and this is another edition of The Bruins Beat on CLNS Media. Every neighborhood has a heartbeat, a place that represents the cultural epicenter of the area at its core. In Boston's historic North End, that place is Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company has become home to A-list Boston celebrities like Gordon Haywood, Milan Lucic, Brad Marchand, Kelly Aaron Baines. Boston Barber and Tattoo is more than just Boston's most well-known corner barbershop. It's also a tourist attraction for hundreds of thousands of people that visit the North End throughout the year. Boston Barber and Tattoo, a North End landmark that represents the cultural epicenter of the area at its core, located at 113 Salem Street in Boston. And welcome to another edition of the Bruins Beat here on CLNS Media. I'm your host, Jimmy Murphy, and I want to thank some of the listeners and your followers of at Bruins CLNS who reached out to us last week about, you know, what we talked about with 9/11 and everything, and remembering that on the actual day. Of course, hard to believe that was 17 years ago, but I shared my experience of that day, being that it was also the first day for me on the Bruins beat, showing my age a bit there, but is what it is. And I want to thank all those who reached out and said that they appreciated us recognizing that. And of course, we're going to do that. You know, one thing we try to pride ourselves here on the Bruins beat and throughout my career, I've always tried to do that, is intertwine life and sports, and always remind people how much more important life is. This is great. This is a distraction. And but something like that, I think, deserves to always be remembered. And it will be again next year if I'm hosting this podcast a year from now. But let's get right into it. The Bruins are now full swing ahead. They're into training camp. They've already got a preseason game in China under their belt, where they won 4-3 in a shootout. And then they took another shootout win. That was Saturday, 2:30 in the morning. Not sure how many of you got up for that early. Well, I guess it could be late if you're out having a good time, if you know what I mean. So maybe early, late for some of us, tilt that they had in Shenzhen in China Saturday morning, where they won 4-3 in a shootout. And then, of course, on Sunday, back here in Boston, they hosted the Washington Capitals at TD Garden, and they were able to take away a 2-1 shootout win there. Quickly, though, I want to look back at the China game, the first China tilt. And, man, lucky for the Bruins. I don't know if you guys have seen the highlights, but lucky for them that they made it out of Shenzhen right after that, because they are now engulfed in a typhoon. Floods everywhere, getting ravaged by a vicious, they say, the world's most powerful storm to date right now this year is hitting China. So good that the Bruins are safe. They will play their next game about a day after you'll listen to this. This Wednesday they'll play in Beijing and wrap that up, and then they'll book it home here to join the other training camp squad here and really get into training camp full mode with a full squad. Coaches will have a better chance to kind of really see how everybody is meshing, see who deserves to be on the team and who doesn't. But of course, one of the things that was done before they left for China, and we didn't really have a chance to discuss it too much last week, was the Bruins traded away longtime defenseman here. He's been here since, you know, 2009-2010, and he was a huge part of that dressing room, a tough as nails, do anything for his teammate type player, a class act off the ice, and that's Adam McQuaid. And he heads over to the New York Rangers. This was actually announced the day we released our podcast. And if you listen back to that podcast, Evan Marinovsky, our intern, and myself were both speculating that, you know, the Bruins coming in with like nine defensemen, that something had a budge, and I said that one of McQuaid, Krug, Grizzlick, and now I forget who the other guy was that I or Kevin Miller. I said one of those four would be dealt, and 24 hours later, Adam McQuaid was dealt to the Rangers in exchange for former Bruin, and now Bruin again, defenseman Steven Kampfer, a 2019 fourth-round draft pick, and a 2019 conditional seventh-round draft pick. I had the chance, actually, on Monday after training camp, after the two practice sessions, to talk with Steven Kampfer about returning to Boston and just kind of how he's changed as a player. He also touched on how great a teammate Adam McQuaid was and how they still stay in touch, and kind of ironic they were traded for each other. But we'll play that at the end of this podcast right now. What I do want to talk about, though, is the GM, Don Sweeney, who made that deal. Again, wheeling and dealing with his old friend Jeff Gorton from the New York Rangers there. Of course, they hooked up on a big trade at the trade deadline and saw Rick Nash head this way. But I want to talk about the job he's doing, all right? And like I said, one of these defensemen had to go. You know, I heard somebody say he didn't think they got enough for Adam McQuaid, and like a friend of mine, I was like, you nuts? He got Steven Kampfer, who, yes, he's going to be kind of riding the shuttle bus between Providence and Boston back and forth. He'll be a guy to come up when people are injured, you know. But still, he got him. He got a 2019 fourth-round draft pick and a 2019 conditional seventh-round draft pick. But the biggest thing is he shed McQuaid's $2.5 million cap hit, which now frees the Bruins up for some cap space as the season approaches. And they now have $5 million in cap space as we head into the bulk of training camp here. And, you know, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised to see Don Sweeney swing another deal. I know that, you know, they're looking for a guy to fill in as third-line center and also a guy to be on the wing with David Krejci. Danton Heinen looked really good scoring the shootout winner, but he played well overall throughout the game against the Capitals on Sunday playing with David Krejci. They're going to look internally here in camp. Sweeney's over there looking at the guys over in China as they play there, and I'm sure they'll trade notes here with the crew that stayed behind with Joe Sacco, who's filling in for Bruce Cassidy here. But I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if he's not satisfied that Don Sweeney still pokes around and tries to fill that winger via trade using some of this cap space that they now have. And one guy I can confirm to you, I don't know when the last time he checked in on him was, since I think it was about a week ago, I had heard that they had poked around. I don't know if they've done it again since, but a week ago, I can confirm that the Bruins did circle back, because they've done it before, to the Columbus Blue Jackets to see what was going on with the status of Artemi Panarin. All right, and that would be one heck of a deal. And imagine putting him and David Krejci together on the same line. I mean, Artemi Panarin is in the prime of his career. Of course, he's heading into free agency after this upcoming season, and he's going to want a huge deal. He's made it very clear he wants to hit pay dirt. Made it very clear he wants to play in a big market. But I had heard some rumors last week that the Florida Panthers had made a solid offer, but it was rejected by the Blue Jackets. And then I heard another rumor that they had accepted it. So I checked with his agent, Daniel Milstein. He said, as of now, I've not heard anything about a trade. They have not come to us at all to sign an extension with another team. According to Daniel Milstein, the agent for Artemi Panarin, as of last Thursday, so that would be September 13th, he told me that there was nothing cooking right now. But that could change a lot as camp goes on here and right before the season starts. And don't count on Sweeney out, on swinging for the fences again. He tried to do it with Rick Nash. It's not his fault it didn't work with a concussion. But he's interested in Artemi Panarin. I've heard that the starting point would be Jake DeBrusk. I don't see that happening. And I kind of get the feeling why that is the reason it hasn't happened. Now, if Panarin all of a sudden says, I'll sign to an extension, and it's a reasonable cap hit, and both parties agree, that could change the whole holding off on – moving Jake DeBrusk to Columbus, but they're going to have to give up some of their top NHL-ready players, guys that have already played some NHL games likely, and then a first-round pick and probably a top prospect. But the Bruins are still pretty loaded when it comes to that, so you have to consider right now, if you hear any big names available as we go on with training camp here, even as the season starts, and up until, you know, the point where teams really evaluate themselves, and of course that's at the American Thanksgiving, but anytime you hear a name, you can bet your bottom dollar that Don Sweeney is in on him. All right. And I don't think he gets enough credit. Has he hit that home run yet that he's been trying to get and swing for? No, not exactly. But I think he's done a great job of replenishing the system. I think he's sprinkled in some good veterans here and there. People will point to David Backus and say he's a bust. I'm going to get to him in a bit because I have an idea, and I'm going to plead to Don Sweeney to listen to me on it. But, you know, they'll say he's a bust, but he's had some injury issues, concussion problems. And, you know, he's a different style than the way the game is going right now. But he's come back leaner, and we're going to get to that in a second. I don't think Don Sweeney's done that bad a job, and I think he should be applauded. He got the team back to the playoffs after missing the playoffs for 2 years. They lose in one round to Ottawa in 2017. And then, of course, last year they make it to the second round and they fall to the Tampa Bay Lightning in five. And just clearly outclassed by the Lightning, a better and deeper team. But I think that the Bruins are in position to contend again. And I think Don Sweeney is ready to take that leap again if he has to. And it could come soon based on, you know, the recent track record of him poking in on a player like Panarin and trying to see what it would take to get him. It could come sooner than expected. So keep your eye on that. And always, you know, give this guy some credit. I know that, you know, maybe he didn't do that great with the picking back-to-back-to-back in the 2015 draft. Kind of got a bad feeling that Shinsen's not going to – Szczesny's got – I can't pronounce his name. I'm brutal with it. Zach Szczesny, I apologize if I'm pronouncing wrong, that he is going to maybe not be the guy they wanted. And, of course, people say, why didn't you take Matthew Barzal? Well, hindsight 2020, what are you going to do? And by the way, at that draft, there are a lot of GMs. There was a bunch of GMs that passed on Barzal, and there was a widespread whispers, and it grew louder into strong chatter that Barzal had an attitude issue. Thankfully for the Islanders, he's correcting it, and he's becoming a superstar. So good luck to him, and good on the Islanders for taking him. But overall, I think Don Sweeney's done a good job, and I will do my best in the coming weeks to keep my ear open about Panarin and anything else that Don Sweeney might be looking at to bring in as a potential winger. Another thing he'd like to fill is that third line center slot. They said they're going to look internally. Hopefully one of their young players can move up into that spot. However, I say, why don't you bring back David Backus? You know, and I had a chance recently to talk about to talk to David Backus about this, about moving back to center and if he would like it. And he said he was very open to it, almost said, you know, that was kind of the plan. But for a variety of reasons, I've ended up the wing, but I'm telling you, he looks slimmer. I think he could be your best bet for now. And you can filter in, mix and match within the games or game by game, you can mix and match. But I would love to see him in the middle there, centering some young kids and helping them out. And I think just if he can combine, hopefully what is going to be a little more speed this year since he's lighter, as well as his big physical presence in the front, I think that's going to help the Bruins a lot. This is what Backus had to say. Hey, this is Jimmy Murphy in Bruins Beat. And I want to tell you, if you wear contact lenses and find yourself dreading the annual appointment to renew your prescription, then you're going to love Simple Contacts. It's a great new company that makes this annoying process very well simple. Simple Contacts lets you renew your expired contact lens prescription and reorder your brand of lenses from your phone or computer in minutes. Simple Contacts brings the doctor's office to wherever you are whenever you need it. You can take the Simple Contacts vision test online in 5 minutes. A real doctor reviews it and renews your prescription. You save time, you save money, and you save yourself a headache. And if you have an unexpired prescription, just upload a photo of it or your doctor's info and order your lenses in minutes for a great price. They do all the hard work for you. This is vision care for the 21st century. Simple Contacts offers every brand of lenses, and their prices are unbeatable. The prescription is just $20. Now, look, come on, compare that with an annual appointment, which can be up to $200 without insurance, and they have some of the best prices on contacts, and shipping is free. Best of all, my listeners will get $20 off their first Simple Contacts order. To save $20 on your lenses, go to simplecontacts.com/mycode and enter the code MYCODE at checkout. I want to mention that this isn't a replacement for your periodic full eye health exam. You'll still need those occasionally, but it is the most convenient way to renew a prescription and reorder your contacts if your vision hasn't changed. Again, check out Simple Contacts and get $20 off by going to simplecontacts.com/mycode and then enter the code mycode at checkout. Give it a try and thank me later.
Dave, a lot of talk right now about who might be the third line center in this team this year. Could you ever envision yourself being back there?
I could. I think that was kind of what was sold to me a little bit when I signed here. But, you know, I don't think they're putting me at wing because they're know I can do a better job than whoever's there, and they're just saving me for something. I think they're maybe like me at wing, or they want the help at wing, or that's just where they're using me, and I need to, you know, face that opportunity or embrace that opportunity, whatever that is. And if that's on the wing, that's great. I need to be the best winger I can. If that's to a, you know, young kid like, you know, Trent Frederick or Sean Corrali or Noel or whoever that is on the third line, you know, embrace that and be the best third line we can be to help this team win games. And that's kind of my mindset and looking forward to it. That being said, it's been, you know, almost 2 full years since I played center. So if that is going to be the case, I'd like to maybe start doing that sooner rather than later so I can get back into that role.
Is it? It's not like riding a bicycle? Or
not quite. Just the conditioning level that it takes to play center from one goal line all the way to the other goal line. Some chemistry. Obviously, the system Butchie runs is a little bit different than what I was used to in St. Louis. So I've tried to learn by watching, you know, some great centers that we have on this team. But it's... it needs to be a little more monkey do than just monkey see here.
How are you feeling physically?
I'm feeling well. I'm healthy as I've been. I'm maybe in the best shape I've been, and I'm excited to, you know, get this plane ride over with so that we can get our skates on the ice and get to work.
So, you know, interesting. I mean, it sounds like he would love to do it, but he's also being a great leader and teammate, saying, I understand, though, you know, if they want me to mentor from the wing, I'm going to do it there as well. Another guy we heard in trade rumors throughout the summer, and I was part of it, you know, I don't say they're spreading rumors. It was truth. It was fact. The Bruins were listening to and discussing potential trade scenarios, one of them with the Edmonton Oilers and former Bruins GM Peter Chiarelli, with Torrey Krug. And when the one I kept hearing, I reported all the way back before the deadline, and people laughed at me, but I stuck with it. And then, of course, my colleague and friend Joe Haggerty wrote about it this summer. There was a deal that was going to see the main pieces would be Oscar Klefbom going from the Oilers to the Bruins, and Torrey Krug from Boston to Edmonton. I've since found out that Torrey Krug has some no trade, you know, no movement clause in his, it's a modified no trade clause, excuse me, in his contract. But you know what? He's got this year left and then next year, both at $5.2 million. And as Krug says, and good on him for pointing it out, there's nobody here in Boston right now. There's nobody on that blue line that can do what he does. And he's absolutely right. He is the best puck-moving defenseman they have. I think John Moore, though, was brought in to potentially add more of that. And maybe eventually, since he's only coming in at $2.7 million for the next 5 years, next five seasons, I think they brought it, they made that signing with the hope. And he looked pretty good in that game in China the other night. They brought him in to hopefully be one of the guys that could replace collectively between him and maybe Matt Grizzlick later on, who's only making 1.4, and maybe even Charlie McAvoy, of course. But the reason I said I'd heard what the reasoning was, and the reason I stuck with it throughout the summer, and I apologize to Krug, and he says he laughed at the rumors. Whatever, okay. You think they're funny? I still think it bothered you. I can tell from the way he talked, but I don't blame him if it did, you know. But there's truth to it. I think that they're looking at it and saying he's going to want a mega deal in his next contract when he's a UFA in 2020. They already have more there that can hopefully materialize into that role there and hopefully bring what Torrey Krug brings. Right now he can't. Krug is right. He's the only guy. But at the same time, they're also going to have to pay McAvoy big money next year and likely going to sign him to a mega deal. So they're going to need to free up money, more money on that blue line as they go on here in the next 2 years. And that's why you heard Krug's name. But, you know, it was interesting to hear him talk about it. And here's what he had to say last week on all the trade rumors surrounding him.
Torrey, sorry, late to the party. But you see stuff over the summer, you know, that you could be involved in trade rumors and stuff like that. How do you take it?
You try to ignore it. And then you laugh about certain things. you know, I don't. You just focus on what you do as an individual and your job every single day, and whatever happens, happens. It's you know, it's just funny when you can read certain things and realize that there's probably no chance that certain things can happen, and when other people pick up on it, and then all of a sudden it snowballs into a big rumor or something. So those are just things you can't control as an athlete, and it's part of it.
I had a player tell me one time, like, about that. He said, hey, I don't care, it just means people want me. Like, it made him feel better about his game. Like, if I'm that good, you know.
Yeah, well, okay. Speaking with people, yeah, if Gretzky can get traded, anyone can get traded, so it doesn't matter from that perspective. And yeah, you definitely would feel wanted, but okay, I have a job to do here, and I feel that you know, no one else, you know, does the job that I do here, so I wouldn't understand something like that. So it's just something that I'm focusing on from a day-to-day basis.
So, you know, there he goes. And again, I agree with him. Nobody else plays that role there, but like he said, you know, you might think it's crazy when you hear a reporter say that they might trade Torrey Krug, but as he said there, hey, if Wayne Gretzky can be traded, anyone can be traded. And it's not that we're saying they should trade him or that I want him to be traded. It's just that financially and with the way this defense is progressing right now, it might make the most sense. But I do think the fact that they dealt McQuaid now, I do think that, and not that they play similar roles at all, but they freed up some money there to at least get to next summer. So I see Krug at least lasting through this season, if not into 2019-20. It's going to be an interesting situation to follow there. And look, I hope he recovers. He looks like he's all right. He skated on Monday. I hope that recovery speeds up. And I think he's in for a big year if he's healthy. So good on him. He will definitely help the Bruins blue line. Another addition to the Bruins blue line, and he's a former Bruin. He was here for the cup year. Unfortunately, as he points out in this conversation I had with him, he was unable to get his name on the cup. He petitioned it, but it didn't happen on the ring. But still, he treasures the experience, and he's happy to be back in Boston. So we're going to get a listen here. This is the one-on-one I did with Stephen Kampfer, who was acquired in the trade for Adam McQuaid from the Rangers, talking to me this past Monday after practice.
How's it feel to be back?
That's good. It's you know, it's a little different, but it's good to be back in an organization you know, you had success in before. So you know, it's a lot of the same guys in the locker room, so it's good to be back.
Were you able, when you were here, did you get your name on a cup?
I missed it by two games, I think.
Two games,
something like
right?
that. But they petitioned for it. You know, I had a couple injuries where I might have played a couple games, but you know, it is what it is. It's you know, you were along for the run. It was a good experience. Was happy for the guys that you know that played and that won. And you know, it's one of those things. You hope you come back and you do it again.
You obviously being here in those years and seeing that run, kind of saw the way the Bruins sort of made a comeback here in terms of the local sports scene and everything, and just the excitement that went from all the people that watch them so far, but also the new kids watching. What was that like to sort of see the, you know, I guess the resurgence of the Bruins around here?
Well, it was great. I mean, you know, being a part of it, and then, you know, they had some success, and then I don't even think they really fell off. They were always a team that was really good, you know, and then Butchie came in and turned the team around. They played a little bit more up pace and a little bit more aggressive style, and, you know, the last couple of years they've made really good runs, and, you know, in playoffs they've ran into injuries, you know, with Torrey, you know, with Carlo, guys like that, where, you know, right before playoffs, guys are going down, or in playoffs, guys are going down. So it's kind of been, you know, bounce here, bounce there. You know, if things change, you know, maybe they're making another run for a cup. And, you know, it's great for the city of Boston. It's great for this organization that they're staying you know, as competitive as they are. And, you know, it's just it speaks volumes to the organization, you know, the owners, the coaches, the management of keeping the core guys here and bringing in character guys and making sure that they keep making a run.
What did you think, though? I mean, when you were there, like, and you saw just how crazy this city was going during that time, what was that like as a player, just sort of seeing that?
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, you had, you know, I don't even think you had, you know, just Boston around. You had New England. You had, you know, fans from everywhere that were, you know, following, pulling for you. You know, it was one of those things. It was exciting. You know, the parade is something you'll never forget. You know, it was a million plus people that were lying in the streets. So it was a great time. And you know, something that you know, we're striving for again.
Did the trade just recently, did that take you off guard, or did you sense it was coming? Or
yeah, I definitely think it was something you weren't really expecting that soon before camp. you know, I was geared up, ready to go and try and, you know, have another season in New York there. But, you know, when you find out, you're excited. It's a new opportunity. You're going back to somewhere where, like I said before, you had a little bit of success. So, more or less just, you know, you're coming back to an organization where you're familiar, you know, the style of play, you know, guys that are in the locker room.
Right.
Makes things a little bit easier to transition back into.
What the Rangers look like, they were kind of going in a young direction as well, but you knew Cuellar from when he was here. How much you think he's going to help them in terms of kind of being that mentor type guy?
Well, I think, you know, Adam was, you know, someone I hung out with a lot when I was here. You know, we'd talk once or twice a year, you know, texting mm-hmm. or whatnot. So I think Cuellar's going to fit really well in that locker room, you know, watching an interview he had. You know, that locker room's very inviting. You know, he's going to fit in really well. He's going to lead by example like he did here. He does things the right way. He prepares. He makes sure everything's good. But he's going to be more of that steady presence, kind of like Mark Stahl on the back end there. Mm-hmm. That, you know, can kind of solidify that 1-2 punch on the PK for him. You know, play some minutes for him. I think he's going to do well with, especially that. I guess that youth movement that they're trying to get, you know, with the younger guys they're trying to bring in and play. Yeah. So he's going to kind of be that calming presence on the back end. So I think it'll be a good opportunity for him.
If you can compare yourself, I know it's tough sometimes, but to what you were when you're here before to your game now, I mean, what do you think's changed the most about you? I know it's a loaded question.
I'm healthy now.
That is a big thing.
Yeah, it's a really big thing. You know, I think when I left here, I was young. I was a cocky kid, you know, kind of got humbled a little bit by bouncing around and, you know, playing in the minors a little bit. So, you know, you don't take things for granted anymore. You earn your spot and you keep your head down, and you work hard. But, you know, I think I'm a little bit more responsibly defensively. You know, I wasn't not trying to run and gun like I used to,
right.
Trying to push the play, but still trying to contribute offensively, but just making sure, you know, everything, you know, from the red line back, you're solidifying and eliminating chances, because, you know, I think before my game was just trying to go all offense and you know, that was the problem, and that's what the coach was talking to me about here my first time around. And then, you know, when I was in New York, they tried to, you know, really make me a defenseman last year, but trying to, you know, the second half of the year before I got hurt, was trying to do a little bit more offense. But I still think I have the offensive flair. It's just, you know, you got to make sure you're taking care of your own end first.
And it's ironic, the game's kind of gone the way you used to be.
Yeah.
But it's true. You got to keep both ends going.
Yeah, you got to make sure you're ready to go. You got to defend first, and that's, you know, that's first and foremost. And I think that's the one thing that I've gotten a lot better at.
Have you gone to a Red Sox game yet?
I have not. I was actually going to go. It was Saturday, but. I actually thought I was going to play Sunday, so I didn't want to go, but
right.
I'll probably head to one before they make this this long run here.
So I'll tell you one thing I took from that interview that I thought really stood out to me, and it's interesting because I had some conversations with some reporters who were here during Camford's time here before, and he called himself out in there. You know, he said, hey, I was a young, cocky kid, and now I'm grounded, and I really learned a lot from bouncing around. I really treasure every minute I have up here. And, you know, that was kind of something I remembered from him, that he had some skill, but maybe he thought it was going to be a little easier than it was. And as he pointed out there, the experience over the last 7 years, last 6 years or so, up and down AHL to NHL, has really taught him some lessons. So hopefully he can somehow hook on, or at least see some time here in Boston. We wish him the best of luck. And we want to thank you for listening. And don't forget, every Tuesday, Bruins Beat here on CLNS. I'm Jimmy Murphy. Have a good one.